Matthew 5, if you could, please. At the end of the day, this is a big part of why we're here at camp. It's great to share fellowship. It's great to, get down to the beach. I'm definitely a culprit of that, of the beautiful ocean water. It's great to get some good food and so on. But we are also here mainly to be encouraged, to be blessed by the Lord's words, what he says through his scriptures, what he tells us through his scriptures. So let's have a look at what he says here in Matthew 5. I suppose I'll just do a bit of a prelude to this. This is one of the title of this talk, if you want one, is The Light We Produce, a bit of an investigation into this passage here. We won't be moving too far from Matthew 5, so keep it easy for you as well today. And I suppose in verse 1 there, it talks about some of the first teachings of Jesus. So he's teaching his disciples there. There's kind of a lot of proverb-like teachings, and I just wanted to. It got me. I suppose it got me thinking. Why does he teach them? What is he teaching them? And that's what I kind of wanted to do, a bit of an investigation into this chapter 5, just to kick things off. So verse 13, we'll go straight to 13, and then we'll come back to a few verses earlier on. Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I wanted to have pick a couple of those words out there that we're looking at in verse. Oh, it says that you are the salt, and I suppose salt being the pizzazz, being the flavor. If you think about, it enhances the flavor anyway. If you think about the most delicious foods. Salt and vinegar chips, salt and pepper squid, hot chips, olives, anchovies. Who's an anchovy lover? Yeah, wow, that's good. Okay, hater? Any haters? Anchovy haters? Yeah. They're salty a little bit. I'm a hater. Anyway, salt gives them, enhances that flavor of those foods. I mean, salt and vinegar chips, you can't pass them up. And we know, I suppose, when we liken it to ourselves and our own walks in the Lord, that salt is what we want to aim for. And, it's something that is not ordinarily seen. If you have a piece of meat, it doesn't necessarily always come with salt in it. But you need a little bit of salt on it just to give it that nice, or to enhance that flavor. And we know that we've got the words of life. We know that. We know that we've got. We know that we can guide people. We know that we can help people find the truth. We know that, but also we know that there's behaviors and there's characteristics of Christians. There's things that Christians do, and that can also be the salt. That can also be the flavor. That can also be the thing that really enhances. And those flavors, those. Enhances those behaviors and characteristics that are like salt, that people see or that they taste and they realize that it is enhancing. Simple things like kindness, simple things like blessing people that curse us, compassion, having a pure heart, not speaking evil of people, trying our hardest to see what God sees in others. That can be difficult sometimes, going to be honest. I'm not speaking from my experience. Gosh. We try and see what God sees. Whether it be, people's, negative sides, or just that people need to be saved. That's what we see. And not involved in squabbles and so on. And all those things that I've just listed off here, they're actually what's mentioned, most of them anyway. Are what's mentioned in the previous verses from verse 1 all the way through to where I've just read from. So I suppose I pose this question to us, and I say us because I'm included definitely. What is our light? What's our salt? What's our enhancer? what's going to make us set a, or what's going to set us apart? Because that's really ultimately what he's talking about there here with the salt. What's going to set us apart from this world? Or alternatively, do we just blend in? In verse 16, it talks about our, the lights and that we are the lights. And I suppose that's where he draws it in and says, and he's talking about the aspect of preaching the gospel and knowing what, knowing that people are going to see that light. And if you've seen a lighthouse before, which I'm sure most of us have, unless you're under five or something, you know, lighthouses are quite big and they're bold and they throw light. And I was at Rotto recently and they, I think they mentioned something about 40 Ks, which is a fairly long way that this particular lighthouse was throwing lights. And I'm sure that there's lighthouses that throw further than that. And their purpose is to warn and to, you know, display that there's like a bit of a rock there, a bit of a disaster coming. And I suppose in our lives as well, that light needs to be seen. And we're talking about this salt, this aspect of enhancing our own sort of behaviors, you know, being able to preach the gospel with that word of truth, that word of knowledge, be able to pass on that that light to people. And in verse 16, it also talks about our good works, our beautiful deeds, and people see it. And that's what the Lord's talking about here. He's talking about us being seen by people. And he knows that we're going to be seen. As soon as our behavior changes, as soon as we become Christians, and you hear testimonies, you know, oh, you know, I was watching this person and they changed, you know, for the better, of course. Or they were just so, you know, full of light, or they, I just couldn't, you know, get, I suppose, you know, couldn't get my eyes off the fact that they, you know, just had a wholesome life. And that's what the Lord wants us to be like. And I suppose, like I was saying a moment ago, I pose that question to you and to us. What is our light? What's our salt? What are the characteristics that set us apart so that we don't just blend in with the darkness, I suppose? Yes, we're spirit-filled. We speak in tongues, of course, and people can't necessarily see us do that all the time. So there are other things that are going to help us be able to throw that light. And here's just a couple of examples from one single chapter in the scriptures, chapter 5. That's what we're looking at. And these are some of the examples that I wanted to get across to you. And this is not to condemn anyone. This is to inspire us to be like Christ, to be more like Christ. Like it says in the last verses of this chapter, if you have a read in the last verse in a moment. So let's have a look at some of those attributes, I suppose. Matthew 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that word meek is that humility, being humble, making sure that we're modest in our own self-importance and that we're thankful, that we're always displaying those things. And it's supported and backed up in Colossians 3, verse 12. I'll read it out to you. Don't worry about turning there for now. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Why? Why should we do that? Why shouldn't we just be rogue? Because the Lord wants us to be light. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to be the enhancing flavor. So he says there, put on that heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that first one, that first point, meekness. Second point, Matthew 5, verse 8. So just down a couple of verses. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as I say, I'm just picking these verses out of this particular chapter, which you might be able to give another slant on, but I'm picking them out for their points, their exact points here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that can be, I suppose that's our thoughts and our feelings, how we behave, how we think, how we see things. And in Philippians 4 verse 8, I'm sure you'll know this verse very well. He backs up and supports the Lord's point here, Paul does. And he says in Philippians 4 verse 8, this is Paul. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there are any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And once again, why? Why bother? Like, is it necessary? Don't know why I looked over there. There's no one over there. Just looking around the room. You know, is it necessary to do these things? But these things, in doing these things, people will see. And then people will ask, as it says elsewhere in the scriptures, that people will ask, oh, what's your deal, kind of thing. So do we think about these things? Do we exercise these attributes? I hope we do. And if we don't, then we can sort of build on that and work on that and pray about it. It's not a, you know, sprint. This is a long distance marathon. And we just continually work on those things. And then hopefully people, you know, see our light and that being those things being the salt of our behaviors. Verse 24, another thing, another point here that we're going to look at. Excuse me. Verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and thou be cast into prison. I don't want anyone going to prison here, but that's not particularly what we're talking about. We're talking about sorting out misunderstandings. And he's saying here, good advice, good encouragement from the Lord here to sort these things out early. Get to them, deal with them, reconcile them with your brother, whether that's someone in the Lord, someone that, you know, even a family member or a friend or something like that. It doesn't necessarily apply to just a brother in the Lord particularly, but people will see that. People will see that good behavior, that positive behavior, and they'll see that light. They might see it from 40 kilometers away or 30 kilometers away. They might see it, and they'll be drawn to it. Are we first to apologize? Do we, do we bring it up and raise it and deal with it? Do we get it done? Or do we just let it linger and fester? And, that's not necessarily what the Lord wants us to do. Matthew 5 and verse 39, a different point here. He says, but I say unto you that you resist not, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. What? Really? I personally find that hard. To someone's just smacked you on one side, you go, listen, I can see that you really want to do it to the other side, so here you go. We would find, as human beings, we find that difficult to understand, but that's what he's saying here. That's the principle behind, there's the principle behind it that he's after. That we've just got that attitude. Because someone, that's the kind of behavior that someone in the world wouldn't necessarily do, that someone would actually appreciate, that someone would see and notice and go, oh, wow, what's his deal? Verse 42, another point, a separate point. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn that not thou away. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Once again, what? What kind of behavior is this where, you know, we love those that hate us? What else does he say here? We bless them that curse us. Isn't it too easy? Well, it is too easy. Someone that curses us or has a go at us to just get our back up and go, right, let's go. You know, not me, I wouldn't. But, you know, it's very easy for us in our human state to get our back up and hate that person. But the Lord's saying here, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Why? Once again, because that is the kind of behavior that people see. That's the kind of behavior that people notice. If you do the right thing, if you do the thing that doesn't necessarily come to us naturally, that's the thing that someone will notice and be drawn to. We can help. There's other scriptures in this passage in chapter 5 here that I'm not going to go through, but he talks about helping others and being the light and so on. There's lots of different verses, and I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. There's so much in there. And also all throughout the Gospels there, and then through the epistles as well, teachings of Christ and how to live our lives. And this is just one chapter, one example, and referencing how, you know, that if we do these things, we become that salt, we become that enhancing flavor, we become the thing that people are drawn to, because that's the purpose. That's the only thing we want to achieve from that point of view, is to see souls saved. We don't want to big note ourselves and like that. I mean, that goes against the first point that I said about humility and meekness. We're not here to big note ourselves. We're just here to give the Lord the glory and see other people's lives changed and saved. And that's what he's pointing out here. When we do these things, you'll get noticed. The people will come to you. We do go out on the streets. We go, you know, preaching the gospel. We go witnessing. But we won't necessarily always have to be doing that, because if we're shining our light, then people will be drawn to it as well as preaching the gospel. Because a person with behaviors and characteristics so different to most out there will be noticed. City on a hill cannot be hid. Amen.